and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 35, 36, no, make that 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Next week, we will celebrate our 37th anniversary. Of course, we will bring in the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, to do that. But straight up, we're 1 week away from that. Of course, lots of boxing news to talk about. We've got stuff coming to us from the UK, of course, boxing on ESPN, of course, the UFC, rocking and rolling, Bellator even had a card. So there's lots of combat sports to talk about. And of course, the big month of October, holy cow, Top Rank laid out a calendar for October that's just a mind blower. I'm talking about Bob Arum, of course, the retired, not retired, he's still rocking and rolling, the CEO of Top Rank, of course, the former U.S. attorney back in the administration of President John F. Kennedy. Back in the days when Bobby Kennedy was the attorney general, Bob Arum was the U.S. attorney. And get this. Bob Arum's got a whole bunch of cards in October. They're rocking and rolling. Bob's like 88, 89 years old and still going. Speaking of still going, at 89 years old, he just got off the phone with Mr. Don King, who was like full of energy, sounded full of energy to me, sounded very cognizant. I mean, he sounded very, very sharp. Somebody said to me he was slipping. Didn't sound like he was slipping to me on the phone. Anyway, Don says we will get together in the next couple of weeks. He's got something to announce. So, if Don's back and Bob's back, and well, Bob never went anywhere, but Don and Bob, nothing but good can come from that, folks. Straight up, competition is good, especially in the world of promotional boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The guitar, the mighty Jeff Tamalier, bringing us back in the break. Of course, that was back when he was with Tower of Power. Jeff can rock and roll, man. Straight up, he's one of the greatest guitarists I've ever met. Jeff, you're a kick-ass dude. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, last night, unbeaten 140-pounder Omar Pollo Aguilar, 18-0, 17 waxed, and won a third-round TKO over predictable Jose Gato Garcia. Garcia came in at 12-7. No surprise, he left at 12-8. Anyway, that was a setup fight, if ever was. Official time was 1:22. Of course, that was on Azteca television last night. From Mexico. The WBC and IBF light heavyweight title fight set for next week, or I take that back, set for next month, October 23rd. Artur Bedibev is off against Adam Diniz due to a broken rib suffered in training. Guess he got hit with a body shot. Not the way to go. Now, I've got a problem with this guy's name, but it was an important, pretty good fight between world ranked guys. Talk about WBC number 7th ranked, WBO number 13th ranked. Oh, God. We'll call him the Mean Machine, Kavalasukas. 22-1-1, 18 KO scored in the preface. Eighth round TKO over number seventh ranked, number eighth ranked IBF contender. I'm talking about Michael Zuski coming in at 34-1, leaving at 34-2, 23 KOs. That was at the Bubble in Las Vegas. Pretty good fight on television, no doubt about that. Hey, and speaking of a good fighter, man, former WBO light heavyweight title challenger. I'm talking about Anthony Yardley, of course, the guy that's managed by the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Talk about Andre Ward, 2004 Olympic gold medals. Remember? The guy that fought, that was a 165-pounder and fought at 178 because he flipped a coin with Andre Durrell and decided one of them would fight at 165, one of them would fight at 178. In other words, he felt he was strong enough to move up, and he was a little guy. I'm talking about Andre Ward. He wasn't that big of a guy when he went into the Olympics, but he went in there and he beat up bigger guys at 178 pounds. I remember Gary Radnich at KNBR calling me a shill because I said he would win the gold medal. Listen, I know boxing. Gary doesn't know boxing. Gary's father was Gary Raznovich. He was a professional boxer around here in Northern California. Pretty good fighter, no doubt about that. But Gary didn't know too much about boxing. And, you know, I remember one time Gary asked me if I was shilling for the hometown guys. I don't shill for anybody, Gary, and that's straight up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Yardley now 20-1, 19 KOs, a TKO winner, and 7 over Doc Spielman, bit of a journeyman, 16-5, now 8 KOs, not a big puncher, but it was the first time he ever been stopped. That was in the BT Sports Studios. Of course, that was in London, the UK. Canelo lawsuit. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, Saul Alvarez, according to court papers, not Canelo, that's a nickname. Canelo sort of like means cantaloupe and orange and that kind of good stuff. That was reference to his skin color. I kid you not, and his hair color. But the $280 million lawsuit filed by Canelo against DAZN and Golden Boy and Oscar and all those guys for alleged breach of contract, well, guess what? He had some hobo lawyers. They filed the lawsuit. They didn't file it correctly. So the judge told them, look, you got like 30 days to get this error together in order to reset it. I kid you not. So there was an error on the filing papers. They got somebody out of Southern California, and I'm not trying to say he's, you know, listen, they didn't go to LA for a lawyer. They went to like El Cajone or something like that for an attorney. You know, if you want a good attorney, go to a big city like San Diego or Los Angeles, Canelo. Don't go to, you know, some hobo attorney where he files papers that make you look like a fool. Anyway, Oscar De La Hoya is hoping that they can get together and work this out. If they can't work it out, it goes to arbitration. What that means is a long time off for Mr. Canelo Alvarez. And you know what? All the money he thinks he can make, or he deserves to make, or he wants to make, or the contract says he's supposed to make, it ain't there. The zone's hurting for money. They are. They're taking my money each month. They're not showing me too many fights. The only fight I've seen in the last 6 months worth anything was that Alexander Povetkin knockout, that one-punch knockout over Dillian White a couple of weeks ago, a fortnight ago, of course, in that heavyweight main event. But outside of that, the zone's sort of been sucking. But they've been taking my money each month. I've been taking it off my debit card because I'm hoping they come back with some solid boxing programming. Now, their star is Canelo Alvarez. Now, he was supposed to fight in September. That didn't happen. He was supposed to fight in May. That didn't happen. So he's supposed to fight in November. That's not going to happen. Okay, so that's three fights he's out. Three dates he's out. He's getting up there, man. He's like around 30 years old, okay? And, you know, fighters start to lose their zeal when they get money, but when they get older, they start to lose their zeal. It just comes naturally. In other words, the reflexes aren't there. They're a step short, a second too late, a split second too late. Anyway, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Canelo's prime is getting soaked up right now, much like Muhammad Ali's prime was soaked up by that 3.5-year exile from boxing from 1967 to 1970, of course, because of the draft, because he wouldn't step forward into the armed forces and go represent the United States in Vietnam or do speeches for the United States Army or something like that. He was going to have no part of that, okay? And now you've got, you know, I mean, basically we're looking at Canelo is the Ali right now. I don't know, I'm not trying to say he's like the personality, and nobody will be the personality. I'm just trying to tell you, he's the king of boxing right now. So the king needs to get out there and defend his crown. If he can't defend his crown, the king ain't worth much, okay? And he's moaning and griping because he's supposed to get, like, I think $35 or $40 million for this fight, and they only want to give him, like, $20 million for the fight. $20 million for a fight? Come on, man. I mean, I don't want to knock Mexicans or anything like that, but Canelo, you're a Mexican young man. You're a millionaire. I understand that. But you're going to walk away from $20 million bucks because you can't make $35 million bucks? You're going to walk away from 20 because you can't make 35? And they're giving you, like, set-up opponents. I think Scott Cuddy is flying down to Mexico to fight you next. So you've got some easy marks in front of you. You're not looking to take on any dragons or anything like that. In fact, you were talking about the big fight for Canelo Alvarez was going to be maybe in May 2021, a third fight with Triple G. Come on, man. 35. You're getting all this money. You're supposed to be the best fighter in the world. Show us. Show us you're the best fighter in the world. When Roberto Duran was the best fighter in the world, he showed us he was the best fighter in the world. When Sugar Ray Leonard, when Ray Charles Leonard showed us he was the best fighter in the world, he showed it. He let his hands and the performances, you know, sort of like dictate. But Canelo, now money hungry, says, no, I'm not going to fight unless there's like $45 or $50 million in line as per my original contract. Well, guess what, man? That ain't happening no more. There's no more live contracts. There's no more live crowds. So the contract has got to be renegotiated. Now they're talking about arbitration, what I mentioned earlier. And that means time off. Lots of time off for Canelo Alvarez. Something I don't think he can afford. Anyway, De La Hoya is hoping they can get back to the drawing boards or back to the negotiating tables and work this out. If not, they will enter arbitration. Not too good, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course, boxing, rock and roll on the 17th of October. Man, Bob Arum's got a hot fight going. I'm talking about the lightweight championship of the world, the undefeated Teofimo Lopez, my guy, the kid from Brooklyn, out of Honduras originally, of course, his people are from Honduras. We expect him to pull off the upset of the year, if not the century thus far, when he takes on Vasyl Lomachenko, of course, October 17th on ESPN for the 135-pound championship. Got just about every belt that there is in existence on the line for that fight. Of course, Lomachenko 14-1-1. I think that 14-1 with the one loss to Orlando Salido. Of course, he came back and Salido came in like 15 pounds overweight and then went out and gained another 10 pounds. So he sort of just mugged them that night. Couldn't beat them that night, but if they fought 1,000 times again, there was no doubt in my mind that Salido would never, ever win a fight. So that was Salido's claim to fame, of course, beating Vasyl Lomachenko that night. And then, of course, Lomachenko got knocked down a fight ago, I think, with Jorge Linares. So people are saying, well, you know, he got knocked down by Linares, and Teofimo Lopez is a much better puncher, a much better fighter than Jorge Linares. Well, Linares just cuts up bad. Linares doesn't take well. I mean, he cuts and he bleeds and that kind of good stuff. But with a couple of breaks, Linares could have been a super fighter. He just wasn't the super fighter at that point in time. Now, at 135 pounds, I think that's where it's happening. I mean, we've got this lightweight championship fight, as I said, between Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez. We've got Darren Haney, of course, the kid originally out of San Francisco, now fighting out of Las Vegas, undefeated WBC title holder. I think he's like 23-24-0. Of course, he skipped the Olympics. He decided he wasn't going to do the Olympic thing. Smart move, because he's got a pro style. Sort of reminds me of Ray Leonard. Maybe some of the fastest hands in Sugar Ray Leonard. No. I'm not trying to say he's the next Sugar Ray Leonard. What I'm trying to tell you is he has Ray Leonard similarities. Not perfectly, you know. Nobody's going to be like Ray. Ray, I think, was the greatest fighter of our era. I mean, him and Roberto Duran, those two guys, better than Marvin Hagler. There's no doubt about it. Better than Marvin Hagler. But after Ali, I think it boiled down to Tyson, Duran, Hagler, Leonard. People like that, you know, and I would say that Hagler and Duran and Leonard probably are up there. There's no doubt about that. Mike Tyson, of course, a flash in the pan only heavyweight champion for about 2 years. And remember what Muhammad Ali said to Larry Merchant when he won that title? How long can he hold it? How long can he hold it? Because, you know, winning the title is one thing. Defending it's a bitch. Believe me, I know. I defended a few championships. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing and MMA. Later, we'll talk about Conor McGregor. Of course, he goes on vacation in France, right? With his old lady, gets drunk, and flashes some chick. Man, not too good thing. They sort of arrested, detained him. We'll talk about that in the MMA hour. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The thing is that I'm still in his brain. I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
Got to do
let the Tower of Power do its thing. Tower of Power doing James Brown. You know what James Brown told me one time? Man, those Tower of Power dudes, though, James, they do James Brown better than James Brown does. I kid you not. That's exactly what he said. I was backstage with him in Oakland, California, the Paramount Theater. Listen to him talk, man. The Godfather of Soul was truly a unique guy, but what an animal he was when he wasn't on the stage. In other words, he was a bad dude. He beat up a lot of girls. He knocked out Tammy Terrell. Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell were a great duet in the 60s, singing all those Motown hits, right? Well, James Brown scored more KOs over Tammy Terrell than I think that Archie Moore had in his career, and he scored like 160 knockouts in his career, something like that. Anyway, James Brown was not a good human being. He just wasn't. Straight up, great singer, not a good human being. Some of the boxing world we'll be talking about next week. I want to mention next week's show right now because we're going to try to bring in Kenny Rafer from the UK, of course, a fight personality, former fighter himself, and the man that discovered Manny Pacquiao. That's right, Sidney Hall. Of course, her attorney from the peninsula, of course, a boxing promoter, manager. Say what you want about Sidney, man. It's not late to dinner and not late to lunch. Sidney's always there. He's first. He's, as far as being on top of things, a premier guy as far as bringing guys out of the Philippines, man. I mean, when he brought this Manny Pacquiao guy to the United States, I sort of chuckled about it. I said, oh, another Filipino guy? He goes, no, Pedro, this guy is for real. I said, what does for real mean? What does for real mean? I mean, come on, for real, for real. No. He goes, Pedro, this guy won't get beat for a long, long time. I said, oh, yeah. And then, of course, he beats La Guaba for the championship. And I say, well, upsets happen. And then they put him in the ring with Marco Antonio Barrera. And, of course, Barrera is supposed to bust him up, supposed to be, like, all over with, right? And it didn't happen that way, man. He lit Barrera up, lit him up like a White House Christmas tree. Of course, that was a big upset. From that point forward, it was all Manny Pacquiao. Lost that one fight to Eric Morales, came back and beat him. And like I say, just kept rolling. And now he's still a champion at 41 years old. He's a WBA 147-pound champion. Now, granted, he's not really a welterweight, but he's got the 147-pound championship. And guess what? The way he's doing people up, I don't know if he's going to lose anytime soon unless they put him in with a really, really guy that's a big, big welterweight. Of course, I don't think Keith Thurman's that good of a guy. I think Keith Thurman was, smoking too much weed. I'm not down on weed. I'm just down on Keith Thurman smoking weed because every time I tune into Keith Thurman, I mean, this guy was going, well, I'm so mellow. I'm here in the forest, man. I'm hanging out this way. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want you to tell me how you're going to come back to the ring and be the fighter that you wanted to be that you never were. Because at one point in time, Keith Thurman was considered to be like the next champ, I mean, the next superstar, the next Mayweather, all kinds of crazy stuff going on there. Anyway, that didn't happen. Check out this October schedule for Bob Arum, 88, 89 years old. Of course, he's promoter extraordinaire from Las Vegas, top-ranked CEO. On the October the 3rd, he's got from the MGM Grand, of course, that little bubble they got there, MGM Grand Las Vegas, ESPN Plus, so you got it on the app. 10-round junior welterweight bout in the main event. Jose Cepeda, 32-2 with a couple of no contests, 25 wax, take on Ivan Baranchik, 20-1, 13 KOs, that's 140 pounds. The 9th of October, they got the best damn fighter in Mexico. You just heard Aaron Barham talking about him earlier, and that's what we're going to lead into, of course. Emmanuel Navarrete, the former WBO 122-pound champion, now fighting for the 126-pound championship of the World Boxing Organization, 32-1. That loss coming quite a few years ago. 32-1, 28 KOs, taking on Ruben Villa, 18-0, 5 KOs. Although Villa's undefeated, this has Mark written all over it. 12 rounds for the vacant WBO featherweight title. That's ESPN and ESPN Deportes. That'll be in Spanish as well. 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That is going to be 7 o'clock on the West Coast, Friday night, October the 9th. Saturday the 17th, the aforementioned Vasyl Lomachenko, 14-1, 10 wax, taking on Teofimo Lopez, 15-0, 12. Of course, coming to you from the MGM Grand, 12 rounds for the WBA, WBC, IBF, and WBO. Lightweight titles, 135-pound championship, will be on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Of course, that's 10 p.m. in East, 7 o'clock in the West. That's really the fight. That's the fight that's got me and my friends talking. It really does. And we're on different sides of the fence here. I mean, because Hector Martinez thinks that Lomachenko, of course, the guy that makes people quit, he beats them up so bad, he breaks them down mentally. They just quit in the corner. They don't want to come out anymore. That's just the way it is. He breaks them down physically and mentally. So they're beaten fighters. And they aren't like laid out like unconscious or snoring or anything like that, but they're beaten up mentally and physically. Their spirit has been taken away. Their will has been broken. Their will has been broken. Okay? And Lomachenko just, real calm about things. But listen, and this guy he's taking on is not your normal stiff. I mean, he's not. I think he's special. And when I say special, I mean maybe Camacho-like special. And why do I say that? Because I watched Hector Camacho come up. I remember him watching him in the Golden Gloves on VHS tapes. And once in a while, they would you would see something on TV of the New York Golden Gloves. They would mention this guy, Hector Macho Camacho. Yeah, the hottest guy in New York. Of course, came the WBC 130-pound champion, won the title at 135, won it at 140. And, of course, at that point in time, he sort of became a cartoon character after 140 pounds. And although he had a great record, he didn't lose too many fights. I think Camacho only lost six fights against like 56 wins. He really was a shell of himself after that. Well, probably after the Rosario fight. I guess that was like in the mid-1980s, of course, 86, 87, somewhere around there. They were battling in the Garden, Madison Square Garden. Of course, battle for the Battle of Puerto Rico. Edwin Rosario and Hector Camacho. Well, guess what? Camacho got lit up in that fifth round with a left hook, and he never, ever came back. So that was, he just never rose to superstardom after that. He sort of became like the Macho List Man. Instead of the Macho Man, it was the Macho List Man. He started running and ducking and all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, Lomachenko Lopez, a clash of styles. Lopez is an incredible puncher. And when I say incredible, I mean like he finds ways to fit punches in between your gloves. This is a slick dude. This is not some guy that's, ho-hum, ho-hum. No, no, no. This is a kid that's a special talent. He really is a special talent. 15-0, 12 whacks. I mean, he's done some spectacular things in those 15 fights, but so has Lomachenko in 15 fights. Still, Lomachenko, 3.5-1 favorite. Not in my mind. I'm going with Lopez. I'm not getting the odds. Of course, Hector Martinez is going to bet. We've upped our bet. It was $2. Now it's $5. So we're betting big time, big money. I'm betting on Lopez. And, of course, Martinez is going to take Lomachenko, a 3.5-1 favorite. Now, wait. As I mentioned earlier, Artur Beterbiev is off the October 23rd card. Of course, that was supposed to be headlined by him and Adam Dinas. Beterbiev, a beast. A 15-0, 15 KOs. But he took that body shot and cracked a rib. So the WBC and IBF light heavyweight titles will not be defended that night. They have no replacement fight as of yet. And, of course, wow, going to finish the month. I'm talking about Halloween night, Saturday night, Halloween night, October 31st. Of course, coming to you from the MGM Grand. Of course, a little bubble they got there. Of course, 12 rounds for the IBF and WBA 118-pound bantamweight titles. I'm talking about Nanoa Inoue, 19 and zip, 16 KOs, Japan's hottest fighter. I mean, this guy is so hot. He's like the Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali and just everything right now. He's just the hottest thing you can ever imagine right over there in Japan. For the moment, Japan has their heroes, and of course, they can, of course, look the other way real fast. But the bottom line is 19-0, 16 KOs. He's taking on Jason Maloney, 21-1, 18 whacks. This figures to be one hell of a fight. But that is the month of October, brought to you by ESPN and Top Rank. As I said, 89 years old, and Bob Arum is still rocking and rolling and kicking ass. You really got to give him some props, man, because, I remember when there was a time when people thought he was just going to ride off into the sunset, like Don King. And Don King has ridden off into the sunset to an extent, except for I think he's got a couple of fighters now, and he's talking about coming back. And as I said, I heard a conversation with him earlier today. He said he's working on something with some people from France. I don't know what that means, but he's got something going on in France. He's waiting on a call from them, and once that gets solidified, he said he'll appear on the show and talk about what his future plans are. But if Don King and Bob Arum were to get back into boxing, and I don't think that Don can rule the boxing roots like he once did. I'm not saying that, but just his involvement, his personality, and the fact that he can make things. See, he can take a tennis ball and make it into a basketball. He can make you think a tennis ball is a basketball. That's what a good promoter does. He takes something small and he makes it look big. And Don King makes it look gigantic. I mean, he took fighters who were like, little guys battle little giants. Remember that? 122 pounds. Talk about Wilfredo Gomez and 126 pounds. Wilfredo Gomez and Salvador Sanchez cooking it up in 1981. I mean, he came up with all these little names, and he would make each event bigger. He would make it bigger. Don King will make the event bigger. Bob Arum does the same thing. Al Haymon, premier boxing champions? I don't think so. We'll talk about that after America, maybe a little bit later. But Al Haymon has failed miserably as a promoter. Why do I say that? We'll talk about it after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, we're bringing the great Muhammad Ali, and then I'll go back and I'll bring you a little clip, of course, on Bruce Lee. By who? None other than Mr. Chuck Norris, talking about Bruce Lee and Bruce Lee's death, of course. Very controversially, he died in 1973, what, 32 years old? Bruce Lee. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Are we ready? You gonna run the one more?
Yeah, 5:30.
Decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right. The World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
Should I go to the police station?
Okay, so check this out. Don King's watching me spar at the Times Square gym, and I'm dazzling people. I'm old. I'm retired. I'm done. I was like 2.5-3 years after boxing. Just dazzling people, man. Dazzling them. Looking at Don said to me, "You sure you're retired?" "Yeah, I'm retired, man. You ain't bringing me back." I was a boxing announcer then, not no boxer per se. But the bottom line is, I remember that was like 1992, 1993. I had quit in 89, and I went off to New York. We went to some WBC event or something like that, and straight up, they had me in the Times Square gym, and I went to work out and boxed with a couple of guys, looked real good, and Don says to me, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm definitely, Don. I'm sure. I ain't boxing ever again." Anyway, speaking of next week, I mentioned that Sidney Hall will be here next week. Of course, the guy that discovered Manny Pacquiao. We're going to bring in Kenny Rainford. Of course, he's a fighter, retired fighter from the UK. We'll hopefully bring in Kenny once I get some long-distance phone calls together as far as overseas is concerned. I want to mention this. Wilfred Benitez his birthday was yesterday. Of course, Wilfred Benitez, a former world champion at age of 17. You know, beat Antonio Cervantes at 147. He beat Carlos Palomino, who I thought I could have beat if he was 139. Anyway, bottom line is, at 154, he beat Maurice Hope. Of course, three-division champion, no doubt about that. He called him Dragon. Not a whole lot to celebrate as far as his birth is concerned, because the guy's like retarded. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. I mean, I can't put it no other way. I mean, there's no way I could soft shoe it, soft sell it, or anything like that. You know, he's retarded. I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, he's like gone. But that's the way it was back in 1984 when I was training with him here in San Francisco. He was going to fight for Gordon Ashby, the promoter, and Sonny Marston was training him and Carlos De Leon. Of course, the recently deceased former WBC cruiserweight champion, 190 pounds at the time. Anyway, Benitez was on the card, so we were all sparring at Newman's Gym. And they tried to, I'll tell you about that story, where they tried to put those 22-ounce gloves on me. I wasn't going for that. Come on, man. You're going to put me in the ring with Wilfred Benitez? My legs are shaking already. You're going to put me in the ring with Benitez? You want me to wear 22-ounce gloves? That's 8 ounces more than I usually wear at sparring? I ain't doing it. So I didn't. And we ended up sparring. We ended up going 2 rounds. The first round, I was sort of cautious. The second round, you know, he said, go for it. And I went for it, and I thought I laid him up pretty good in that second round. And then we sparred one other time, and those were, I think in 4 rounds of boxing, they got through like 45 punches. And most of them were easy to slip. They were. I mean, here was the dragon of boxing, Mr. Defense, this kind of good stuff. In 1984, he was a shell of his former self. And as I said, now, the best way I could describe him is retarded. I mean, that's just the residual effects of professional boxing. And let me tell you what happened. His father, Gregorio Benitez, might still be alive. He put his kid in with guys like Edwin Villuet and Esteban de Jesus, the guy that would challenge Roberto Duran and beat Duran, of course, in one fight out of the three fights they had. So, I mean, he was putting these guys in with great, great fighters. Guess how old Wilfred was? 13 years old at Gleason's gym. I kid you not, 13 years old, 13 and 14 years old, and he's got taking lickings with the, I mean, he's doing real well, but he's still, he takes some beatings in those sparring sessions, man. Unless you're a safety first guy and you're always on the move, and you know, and you got sparring partners that are equipped and told not to hurt you, you're going to get hurt at times, okay? And Benitez sparred with some of the best fighters in the entire world, and he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree inside his head. Not physically, inside his head. His brain got scrambled so much that when I met him in 84, and that's the first time I met, take it back, I met him at the Sanchez-Gomez fight, the aforementioned Sanchez-Gomez for his Battle of the Little Giants, where Don King put that on, I think, in August of 1981. In Las Vegas, and I met him there, took a picture with him, talked a little bit with him. His English wasn't very good, but we sort of talked in broken Spanish, and Hector had a good conversation with him, and, I mean, he was still looking sharp and in his prime, and I think there's pictures of us being there that night. But then when I saw him in 84, when he came to San Francisco, he was like, hey, man, do you have a girlfriend? Huh? Yeah, hey, that was good. That was some good sparring today, man. You know, that was really some good sparring. I like the way you threw that body shot on Zach, blah, blah, blah.
You got a girlfriend?
Hey, man, you know what, man? Hey, Wilfred, I got to tell you, you know, making weight the way you told me, you know, spitting like blah, 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 because he was telling me about making weight. This and that. I said, that's a pretty good idea.
Hey, man, you got a girlfriend?
I mean, there was never, that was it. That was all you got out of Benitez. Hey, man, you got a girlfriend. So it got real old, real fast, and what can I say is I didn't want to call him anymore, okay? And then we're supposed to do this exhibition, and they tell me, you're going to do an exhibition with Butch Gomez, and that was my trainer's brother, and Wilfred Benitez, and you're going to do 6 rounds, 3 rounds with each guy. And I said to myself, okay, I was bold and cocky. Okay, I'm ready to go, man, no doubt about that. I think I had just come back, or I was getting ready for the Western Olympic trials at one point in time, so I was rocking and rolling. I was in good shape, right? So anyway, Benitez pulls out. About 3 or 4 days before the exhibition, he pulls out of town. Now, it had nothing to do with the exhibition. He just didn't want to fight, okay? And he left. He would fight for somebody else, for another promoter. But what happened was he took Ashby, who was a rookie, and Ashby gave him cash and that kind of good stuff, and Benitez took him to the bank. He just took the cash and split. So at the end of the day, Benitez wasn't Benitez in 1984, okay? In 2020, he's like just gone. I mean, you got to lead him around. He ain't got any teeth in his mouth, and it's not good to knock an old fighter in this. And I'm not trying to knock an old fighter per se, but I'm just telling you like it is. You know, he's a mess. He just is a mess. Anyway, so let's go back to the boxing results. Last night in the, listen. You know, I'm looking at some of these great fights here, or formerly great fights. I don't know, man. Is there anything going to be great soon outside of Lopez and Teofimo? Is that the only fight I've got my eyes set on? I mean, come on. There's not a whole lot on the schedule. There's not. I mean, Danny Garcia and Errol Spence on pay-per-view, and it's the Charlo brothers special in separate fights on a pay-per-view. They're going to charge us $74 for that, and they're going to do this September 26th. In other words, 2 weeks, in less than 2 weeks, they're going to try to put on this fight on pay-per-view. They announced it this week. The Charlo brothers, Jamal and Jamel, okay? If you get them confused, don't feel bad. Everybody does. But one's better than the other. The 160-pounder is better than the 154-pounder. Anyway, they both, I believe, have quasi-titles. And, of course, it was supposed to be the 160-pounder to rumble with Canelo Alvarez. That's really the only fight we want to see. I mean, as far as Canelo's concerned, man, who else would there be for Canelo to fight? I mean, and the black versus the Latin thing gets the racial thing going, you know, a little bit. So, you know, the fight gets interest. Because that's what, listen, whether people want to admit it or not, boxing is one of the most racist sports in the entire world. You can sit down with boxing fans. I kid you not. You can have a white guy boxing. You can have a black guy boxing. You can have a black guy kicking the snot out of the white guy. And the white guys will tell you the white guy's winning. And then he'll go the other way around. And you're with a bunch of black guys. And he's fighting the white guy. And the white guy's kicking the snot out of the black guy. They'll make an excuse for the black guy. It's just, there's something about that. There's just something about it. Boxing is so, it's the most ethnic sport of all time, no doubt about that. But the 17th, October, the big fight, that's gonna dwarf anything then. I mean, Errol Spence, think about this. Errol Spence, 147-pound world champion, of course, no doubt about it. He's got some slick skills, not a nice body for a welterweight. I mean, long and lean, he can punch a little bit, coming off that 12-round decision over Mikey Garcia, which I thought was a bit of a farce, because since Garcia wasn't punching back, why didn't you take him out? If you were the bad dude that you say you are, Errol Spence, the top 10 pound for pound, this welterweight king and pound, you know, the czar of boxing,
You and your $120,000 car that you overturned in 105 miles an hour, of course, and got tossed out of the car. Luckiest day of your life. Luckiest day of your life, man. You got tossed out of a car at 105 miles an hour, all right? And you want us to think that you're going to be able to come back and fight at a world-class level. It ain't happening. And I don't care if you landed on a mattress and this was a stunt movie, there's going to be some damage. I mean, I saw the neurological damage to your eye. Was it the right eye that had the broken blood vessels? That doesn't happen from, what do you think, that just happened? There was some impact in order for me to make that happen. So the bottom line is Errol Spence is going to take on Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, the former 140-pound world champion. Danny Garcia and Errol Spence from the same stable, the Al Haymon stable, premier boxing champions. So they're putting their own two guys against each other. No big thing there. But the bottom line is Danny doesn't punch much. Not hard anyway. He doesn't punch a lot. Danny's one of those guys that just does enough to win, just throws enough punches to win, barely enough punches to win. I mean, he just does. So he's going to take on Errol Spence. Errol Spence is damaged goods. I'm trying to get Cuddy in there with Errol Spence, but unless maybe Danny Garcia gets hurt right before the fight, I could put Scott Cuddy in there. Anybody right now could test Errol Spence because I'm willing to test him. The guy got thrown out of a car at 105 miles an hour. 105 miles an hour, okay? You trying to tell me he's going to be normal? He's going to be able to come back? Man, I think I could step on his foot and just freak him out and put all kinds of, hit him with an elbow. And I mean, do all kinds of crazy stuff, though, man. Just discombobulate him. Whoa! And, you know, and then all of a sudden, flashbacks. The car. I'll be talking to him about the car. Hey, man, remember when that car flipped over? Oh, look, you think Ali played a game on Frazier? You think Ali played a game on Foreman? Man, that's the best you got after three rounds. No. You can play a hell of a game on Errol Spence, a hell of a psychological game on Errol Spence, telling him, guess what, man? That car wreck. Yeah, bottom line is, Danny Garcia is probably not going to be the guy to beat him if he's got anything left. But as far as the best at 147, I just can't consider Errol Spence the best at 147 anymore. 147 pounds with some other good guys there. We'll talk about them a little bit later. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, the MMA, of course. Julio Cesar Chavez is going to come back. I saw a picture of him on TV on the Mexican channel, of course. I didn't tell Telemundo. Anyway, bottom line is, I don't know. Come on, man. He was a disgrace. I mean, he disgraced the family, disgraced the country of Mexico. Why want to see him come back? The last time we saw him, he quit like a little, you know, I don't want to spell it, B-I-T-C-H. But, I mean, he just did. He did. I mean, you know, I mean, his father had to be ashamed. They were in the hospital. Oh, he was dehydrated. He was dehydrated, so he got his ass whooped and quit like a dog, and you can still hear him barking, woof, woof, woof. Come on, man. Chavez is not the fighter his father was. Never will be. And you couldn't expect him to be. His father was a special guy, no doubt about that. Whether or not he beat up on 88 taxi drivers from Tijuana or not, Chavez Sr. was special. Chavez Jr., just not the same breed. I mean, here's a guy, I told you he was having a fight at the L.A. Forum, and he's having a fight at the Forum, and the referee goes to look for him to give him the pre-fight instructions. He's in the shower. Oh, okay, he's in the shower. Having sex! J.C. Chavez Jr. was in the shower having sex with a chick. Shower wasn't on. When the referee came in to give him instructions for a fight at the L.A. Forum, I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring. That's how dedicated J.C. Chavez Jr. is to boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. September 25th, Chavez and Mario Cazares.
From nobody. Hold on. We can take it in the street if you want to.
What the hell's going on out here?
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Heaven help us.
Woo! Some live soul vaccination, baby. Tower of Power style. I think that was 1996, the Tower of Power live album, of course. Taped and filmed here at the Fillmore Auditorium here in San Francisco. Check it out today in Boxing History, of course, brought to us by our House historian. Talk about Mr. Billow. Speaking of Billow, he's celebrating 1 year. 1 year ago today, he was at Cooperstown for this big thing at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. September 10th, 1973, Muhammad Ali wins a rematch with Ken Norton. Of course, there was a 12-round fight on television down there in L.A. That was a close fight, but I did think Ali won that fight clearly. Anyway, Terry Norris, of course, beat Joe Gotti in a one-round knockout. Of course, Joe Gotti being related to Arturo Gotti. But Terry Norris, a good guy. That was in 1993, September 10th, 1993, of course. Let's move things up to September 12th, 1958. The aforementioned Wilfred, not too quick, Benitez was born in the Bronx, New York. I guess would have guessed Puerto Rico, but no, he was born in New York. And, of course, this was a sad one. September 9th, 1983. I was there in Las Vegas. It was an outdoor arena at Caesars Palace. And I almost want to start crying because of the fact that Alexis Arguello got lit up by Aaron Pryor so bad. I mean, just beaten down so bad. It was like 30 seconds in the fight. Pryor was down. And I'm not saying that. I didn't think that Pryor was down. Arguello was down. I didn't think that Alexis was going to win because of the fact that he was beaten so severely and his will was broken in that first fight. Of course, a fight of the year, no doubt about it, the first time they hooked it up. But that second fight, I just didn't feel good about it. And, of course, he just got overwhelmed before you knew it. The fight was stopped. And at the end of the night, I remember going to see Arguello afterwards and see him Pryor afterwards. And it wasn't that I couldn't hang with Arguello. It's what I didn't know what to say to him. I really was speechless at that point in time. I mean, he had had his will destroyed by Aaron Pryor previously, of course, in a fight which I thought maybe had some suspect gloves involved. In fact, that you can't fight them, you cannot find the boxing gloves that Aaron Pryor beat Alexis Arguello with the first time. They have disappeared. They haven't been seen since they were taken off his hands in the ring that night. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think that Panama Lewis took padding out of both those gloves. I mean, because if you look at the damage that was inflicted on Alexis Arguello by Aaron Pryor, Arguello had like 100 fights. He never got busted up like that by anybody. And some of those fights that Arguello had back in the days were with 6-ounce gloves. So what am I trying to tell you? A bit suspect of Panama Lewis that night. Of course, Arguello getting destroyed the second time. September 9th, 1983, that was basically the end of the career of the great Alexis Arguello. He would die, of course, 2008, 2009, Managua, Nicaragua. He got shot with a rifle, suicide with a rifle. When's the last time you heard of suicide with a rifle? Think about it. He was a mayor of Managua. Things happen down in those third world countries. Hey, Kennedy was killed here. Things happen here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Stay tuned for another hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide as this is the Sunday edition. You might be listening to us via podcast, of course, at anchor.com. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the podcasts are at anchor.com. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Stay tuned for hour number two after the break. I'll bring in the greatest, that's right, the greatest, Muhammad Ali on Ring Talk Live Worldwide right after the news.